There was a roar more appropriate to a great cat than any dog, and the sound of shattering glass from the second level. Mouse flew over the safety railing, landed heavily on the ground, and lunged at the Scavis. The dog wasn't 6 inches behind the Scavis agent as it closed on me, its one remaining arm raised up to, well, hit me. But given how hard the blow was going to be, I upgraded the verb to smite. He was about to smite me. Thomas came out of nowhere with that cavalry saber of his and took off the Scavis's smiting arm at the shoulder. He let out a scream that didn't sound anything like human and tried to bite me. I rolled out of his way, helping him along with a stiff shove to his back. Mouse came down on top of him, and that was that. I eyed Thomas as Mouse made sure that the remarkably resilient vampire wasn't going to be getting up again for anything, ever. It had been a close call. The Scavis had timed his move just right. Another second, give or take, and he'd have broken my neck. Well, I told Thomas, my breathing still quick, it's about time. Better late than never, Thomas replied. He glanced at the bleeding Elaine, licked his lips once, and said, she needs help. It's on the way, Murphy said. Response is slow here, but give them a couple of minutes. Everyone's okay up there, Harry. Thomas let out a breath of relief. Thank God. Which was odd, coming from him, all things considered. I concurred with the sentiment, though. Molly sat behind the wheel of the Beetle, breathing too quickly, her eyes very wide. She couldn't quite see Mouse or his grisly chew toy from where she was sitting, but she stared as if she could see right through the Beetle's hood to where my dog was finishing up his deadly, ugly work. So, I asked Thomas, how'd Lara get you to promise not to talk? My brother turned toward me and gave me a huge grin. Then he wiped it off his face and said, in the tone of a radio announcer on Prozac, I don't know what you're talking about, Warden Dresden, he winked. But hypothetically speaking, she might have told me that Justine was in danger and refused to divulge anything else until I promised to keep my mouth shut. And you let her get away with that kind of crap? I asked him. Thomas shrugged and said, she's family. Molly suddenly lunged up out of the driver's seat of the Beetle and was noisily sick. Seems a little fragile, Thomas said. She's adjusting, I replied. Madrigal and his Malvora buddy are still out there. Yeah, Thomas said. So? So that means that this was just a warm-up. They're still a threat, I said. They've got enough bodies to lay the whole thing out to the White Court and make people like the Ordo look like a casino buffet. If that happens, it won't just be one Scavis running around with a point to prove. It'll be a quiet campaign. Thousands of people will die. Thomas grunted. Yeah, there's not a lot we can do about that, though. Says who? I replied. He frowned at me and tilted his head. Thomas, I said quietly. By any chance, is there a gathering of the White Court anytime soon? Perhaps in relation to the proposed summit talks?
If there was a meeting of the most powerful 100 or so nobles of the court scheduled to meet at the family estate the day after tomorrow, I couldn't tell you about it, Thomas said, because I gave my sister my word. Your sister has guts, I said, and she sure as hell knows how to put on a show.
I glanced at the ruined hotel and dropped my hand to scratch Mouse's ears. They were about the only part of him not stained with too pale blood. Of course, I've been known to bring down the house once or twice myself. Thomas folded his arms, waiting. His smile was positively vulpine. Call Lara, I said. Pass her a message for me. Thomas narrowed his eyes. What message? I bared my teeth in an answering smile.